We're so proud of Justin and Lacey, and I've been using the term legacy a lot more, Justin, and you're part of our legacy as a church, and so we're blessed by that. And let me just say, what you're doing here is hard. I've been a part of two church plants myself, and planting a church is hard work, especially when you're in a rented facility like this. You have to set up and tear down. But I always tell, and we've got one of our campuses that does that, I always tell them, when you finally get your own building, you don't have to do this, something's going to be missing in your church. There really is. Because there's an energy in a new church like this that you can't duplicate when everything's already ready when you walk in the door. So church planters, again, we've been a part of planting two churches as well. And so they're kind of heroes of mine. And I'm just thankful to be a part of that as well today. And we were here 4 years ago this Sunday. We were here 4 years ago. I have decided, I texted Cheryl, she's not with me this time, but I texted her last night, we're not coming again in July, we're going to come in October, okay? We have a son and his family in Waco, Texas. It was hotter yesterday here than it was in Waco, Texas. So we'll come in October next time. But if I was to ask you what a hero is, we'd all have definitions for the word hero. We could name military people. We grew up in a military town, emergency workers, heroic efforts that make the nightly news. We may not even agree on a definition of a hero, but we know one when we see them. As Justin said, I'm going to look at Hebrews chapter 11. It's often called the heroes of the faith chapter, and we're just going to look at a couple of verses. But we assume when we come to a Hebrews 11 that it's this God's all-stars, a gallery of spiritual heroes, the greatest, the most talented, the most gifted, the legends. And in some ways, they are heroes of the faith. But when you actually read their individual stories, and we won't have time to unpack them today, the picture kind of falls apart. Abraham lied. Sarah laughed at God's promises. Jacob manipulated the people around him. Moses made excuses. Gideon was terrified. Rahab had a broken past that most churches don't even touch. These weren't superheroes. They were ordinary people. Again, we'll get to Hebrews 11 in just a minute. But Hebrews 11 is not a chapter about extraordinary people. Like the rest of the Bible, it's a story about an extraordinary God working through ordinary people. The common denominator in every one of the stories in Hebrews chapter 11 wasn't their greatness, it was their faith. And that changes the narrative quite a bit, because most of us don't wake up in the morning feeling like heroes. Some days we don't even want to get out of bed. Two snooze buttons later, and our feet hit the floor. And we wonder whether we'll even make it through Monday. We have bills to pay, relationships to navigate, diagnoses to face, dreams we've yet to pursue. Most of life doesn't feel heroic. It feels more chaotic. It feels at most ordinary. But here's the good news. That's exactly where God does some of his greatest work. Of course, we first need to determine what is faith actually. That's what I'm going to spend my time focused on today. Thankfully, the writer of Hebrews tells us. So, in honor of God's word, would you stand with me, and we'll read three verses together in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For by it our ancestors won God's approval. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Pray with me. God, these are your people, and this is your word. May it not return void, and may you receive the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Faith is not wishful thinking. Faith is not even ignoring human reasoning or dismissing intelligent thought. Faith is simply the confidence in the person, character, and promises of God. Faith is like saying, I can't see the outcome, but I know the one who holds the outcome enough that I'm willing to take the next step. We actually live this way every day without even thinking about it. When you came in this morning, you sat in a chair and you didn't check the bolts if they were tight enough to hold you up, right? Now, maybe some of you engineers did, and we're thankful for nerds like you, but most of us didn't check that. You ordered something online trusting that a complete stranger is going to put it in a box, and then another stranger is going to ship it across the country, and then another stranger is going to land it on your porch. Hopefully this afternoon, you're checking your app to see where it is right now, right? You have money deposited in a bank trusting it's going to be there when you need it. Every single day, we place our faith in something. The question is not whether we're going to live by faith. The question is always where we'll place that faith. My goal today is simply to help you understand that ordinary people can live an extraordinary faith. So as we consider some of these verses, I'm going to ask you a few questions. These questions are hopefully going to cause you to examine where you're placing your trust today. Here's a suggestion, though. When the questions come, and I'll make them very obvious what the questions are. When the questions come, don't answer for the person beside you. Don't even answer for your spouse or your friend who's wrestling through a big decision and needs to hear this. Answer for yourself. Because Hebrews 11 isn't just a hall of faith to admire. Like the rest of scriptures, it's a mirror to look into, to examine and apply to your own life. So here's the first question. The first question is this. When you look at your life right now, what are you trusting most to give you security, peace, or hope? When you look at your life right now, what are you trusting most to give you security, peace, or hope? Or hope. And be honest, is it a bank account? Is it your career? Is it looks, karma, your personality? Or is it the character, the person, and the promises of God? And what if you could only pick one of those choices? Verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11 makes it very plain. It says, now without faith it is impossible to please God. The writer of Hebrews is not ambiguous. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Not with talent, not with intelligence, not with influence or wealth or a polished resume. Without faith, you cannot please God. So what does that kind of faith actually look like? And Hebrews 11 actually gives us three very practical ways. I don't have time to look at all the text. You can go back and read it, and I hope that you will. But three ways that faith expresses itself in human life. The first one is this. Faith goes without knowing where. Faith goes without knowing where. If you read all of these stories, when God called someone, take Abraham, for example, he doesn't give them the five-year strategic plan. Nothing that when you planted this church, nothing looked like you thought it would today. That's the way God works. Which I realize is hard. Some of us don't even drive out of our driveway without GPS programmed, right? We like a plan. But let me ask you, can you trust God with your tomorrow? Not just when the path is clear, but even when the path isn't. When God called me into vocational ministry, it made no natural sense. Now listen, I think you can be in ministry and work in a factory or be a policeman or work in a hospital. But God made it clear he wanted my vocation to be in a ministry setting, but it was not an immediate fit. It didn't make sense to me or many others. I was 38 years old. I had two kids in middle school. My background was in business, not pastoral work. I still live vicariously through small business owners in our church. I didn't have the skill set, the training, or the financial cushion. But Cheryl and I had to first believe that the same God who was calling us would be able to provide for what he was calling us to do. And the belief that he could provide had to come before the provision ever did. That's the nature of faith. So here's another question. Where is God asking you to take a next step of obedience before he's shown you the whole plan? Here's the second reality of faith. Faith remains without knowing when. As you look over the list in Hebrews chapter 11, they're never told when the command would be fulfilled. And many of them waited many, many years before the promise was fulfilled. Some died before they even saw the promise fulfilled. Do you ever just want to know when? Like, God, can you just give me part of the plan? Give me the next step. A spreadsheet would be nice, but even just a little path in front of me. The reality is, though, faith will always challenge us in the process of waiting. We'll always feel that tension in waiting. God's timing is not our timing. Psalm 130, verse 5, the psalmist said, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. Again, our hope is in the character and the promises of God, not in the timing of things. So here's another reflection question. What situation in your life have you been tempted to measure God's faithfulness by his timing instead of his character? Let me ask that again. What situation in your life has tempted you to measure God's faithfulness by his timing instead of his character? Here's the third reality of faith. Faith believes without knowing how. Faith believes without knowing how. Over and over and over again, when you read these faith stories, they're faced with what seems like impossible odds. What situation are you in today that the world or maybe you would call impossible? A marriage, it seems like it's gone too far. A relationship you've watched deteriorate over the years. A circumstance that feels like it's too much for any solution you can imagine to solve it. Does your situation seem impossible? Waiting rooms often feel empty. But Ephesians 3:20 says God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. Some people believe in a distant God. Perhaps he's a creator, he started things, but then he walked away and he just kind of steps back and sees things from the distance. But that's not the God I serve. My God is able, my God is present, my God cares. And my God is not done with your situation yet if you're still waiting. Faith assures me of that. Let me give you two practical examples of faith. What does that kind of trust look like in a real moment? I'll share one from Scripture and then one I saw in my own life. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 9. Or just listen to these verses. I think they'll be on the screen. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." Now, by this point in Jesus' ministry, he had developed quite a reputation. He had healed. He was a miracle worker by this point. And so people were crying out to him everywhere he went. But then something unusual happens. Two blind men came to him. And interestingly, if you read the story, Jesus kept walking. He didn't stop. He didn't turn around automatically. This was a man who once felt a woman touch his garment in a crowd, and he knew something had happened, so he turned around, asked who touched him, and healed the woman. This time, he didn't do anything. Just walked past him. Maybe that feels familiar to you. You've cried out and you've heard nothing. And it seems like the silence is deafening, like he's not even listening to your prayers anymore. But these two men had tried everything. Think how desperate it would have been to be in the ancient world and be blind. They had followed every prophet, every cure, every rumor of a miracle. Anyone who arrived with a new claim, they were the first in line. And Jesus knew this. He knew he could easily become just another name on the list, simply the current hope, another addition to a very long search. And Jesus never wants to be part of the solution. He came to be the solution. He didn't come to be included in someone else's plan. He came to be the plan. So Jesus asked them in verse 28, when he entered the house, the blind man approached him, and Jesus said this to them, "Do you believe that I can do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Jesus asked, "Do you believe that I'm able?" And the blind man replied, "Yes, Lord." And that word "Lord" is everything there. Because it was like saying, "We believe. You are God. You're the Lord. There is no other. You're the only answer to our problem. If you don't help us now, we're still hanging out here because you're our only hope. Our journey stops here." They'd come to the end of themselves. And that's exactly where faith begins. But Jesus' question leads to another reflection question. Based on your situation right now, the one you're waiting for God to answer, if Jesus were to ask you that question, what would your honest answer be? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? And notice what Jesus says in verse 29. Then he touched their eyes, saying, "Let it be done for you according to your faith." According to your faith. I wonder how many times we're waiting on God to do something and nothing seems to be happening, and God is quietly asking that same question. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you really believe I'm able to do this? Am I just a backup plan? Jesus until something better comes along? Jesus plus a little good luck? I've always said I don't like the phrase, "If the good Lord's willing and the creeks don't rise," because he could part the creek, right? If he's willing, he can go. Faith is Jesus as Lord, Jesus as the answer, Jesus as enough. That's the faith Hebrews 11 puts on display. Real faith is not based on what we want God to do. It's not a wish list. Real faith is the confidence in what God has promised to do. And by the way, God's not promised to heal everyone. He hasn't promised to keep you from trials or suffering or financial hardships or troubles in ministry. He has promised to walk with you through every single one of those and to bring you to an ultimate end that is good, to be the fourth man in the fire. We just sang about that. Faith is not a formula. It's not a mechanism for commanding God to perform. It's trust in the person and the character and the promises of God. Here's the reality. Your circumstances will shift. Your feelings will fluctuate. The world will move under your feet at times. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I may not be able to trust where things are headed, but I can always trust him. Now, let me share a modern-day illustration. Lucas and Faith were a young couple in our church, both professionals. Luke was a rising engineer. I'll never forget sitting in my office when they said, "We're selling everything. We're moving to Montenegro." I had to look it up on the map. Cheryl and I are hopefully going there, Lord willing, next summer. They had one small child and another one on the way. They have three now. Their parents were not supportive. They had many of their friends who were not supportive. And yet two things were unmistakable when we spent time with them. The first was their faith. They were stepping out of their comfort zone willingly. They followed God's call even when it was contrary to their friends and family's wishes. But the other thing I noted was even more striking. It was their peace. Not because life was perfect, not because they had everything figured out, but because they had something deeper than their circumstances. And that's an important principle about walking by faith. Peace in a faith move seldom comes before the steps of obedience. And there are dozens of other stories I could have shared. I could have talked about the McKays coming to Denver, or to Russ and Miranda stepping out, or the business owner who said to me recently, "I'm simply placing my entire business in God's hands, whatever he wants to do with it." You likely have your own examples. Here's the thing about faith. Faith always develops witnesses. But I need to go back to where I started. Because the greatest danger in a message like this, or when you read Hebrews chapter 11, or when you hear these remarkable stories of people's faith moves, the greatest danger is you think your faith can't measure up to that. Before you think this is only for missionaries or church planters or church leaders or people who make the stories who were put into the books, or Hebrews chapter 11, faith always starts with ordinary people who trust in an extraordinary God. We have four granddaughters and one grandson. Our grandson was the last one to come. We raised two sons, so we're here for this. We love it. But the girls were kind of predictable. Both boys had two girls, and they were pretty predictable, and you could set them down, and they would play, and there was drama, but because, you know, it was girls. But they were easy to figure out, and, you know, they just were. Our grandson, Timothy, has come along, and he's changing some things. He's shaking up the world. Courtney was feeding breakfast the other day, and she turned around for 2 minutes, and I think we've got a picture of it. That's Timothy. One thing we know for sure, he goes for it. Well, all in, whatever he's doing. She said, I don't know how he got it on there so fast. I'm just thankful it was yogurt and not motor oil, right? He came to our house back in June, and we have these baby ducks, rubber ducks, that they play with in the bathtub. All the grandchildren played with them. He lines them up, and I got to teach our grandkids about ducks in a row, and he just had them all lined up there. I thought, isn't that sweet? He lined them up just so he could knock them off. It was the funniest thing. And the reason I share that is this. Most of life is not going to look like Hebrews 11. It'll look like breakfast tables and diapers and carpools and meetings and laundry and paying bills and caring for aging parents and showing up again at work on Monday, hopefully on time, and praying consistently for those children and grandchildren's faith and going through chemo treatments, hoping this will be the last round before you get a clear report. It'll look like doing what God is calling you to do in that very moment. And then when the big moments come, you'll be ready. For a faith follower, faith isn't a Sunday church hour experience. Faith shows up on Monday. Faith is the business owner who chooses honesty over profit. Faith is the student who honors God when no one is watching. Faith is the retiree who still believes God has assignments for them. Faith is continuing to obey when the results aren't immediate and the feelings aren't there. That's the kind of faith Hebrews celebrates, not celebrity faith, faithful faith. One more thing before I close. A pastor friend of mine said something to me years ago I've never forgotten. He said, Ron, every opportunity that God calls you to has an expiration date. You may be in that kind of moment today. God is calling you to take a step, and the window is open. For some of you, that's a financial step, deciding to trust God with your giving before you think you can afford to do so. For some, it's a relational step, having a hard conversation you've been avoiding, a reconciliation you've been putting off, a forgiveness you've been delaying. For some of you men, it's to take more of a spiritual leadership in your home. For some, it's a dream God laid on your heart, but fear keeps pressing that backwards in your mind. For some of you, it's to get baptized. And for some of you, it's to place your faith in Jesus Christ to save you before you have all your questions answered. The last question I want you to carry out of here today, what would your life look like this week if you acted as though God's promises were more certain than your fears? What promise from God do you need to act upon this week as if it's already true? Don't wait for certainty. Don't wait for all the answers. Don't wait for it all to make sense. Don't wait till the fear goes away. That's not faith. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be stupid. Making plans and following a budget, that's biblical too. But when you know God is calling you to do something, faith is stepping out before the path is clear and then staying the course until the answer comes. That's the faith Hebrews 11 celebrates, and that's the faith God is calling us to. And according to your faith, let it be done. God, these are your people. Take the words and use them as you will. In Jesus' name, amen.